Hello and welcome to the PropTech Hot Seat on iProperty Radio with myself, Carol Tallon, the show where we explore trends and technologies driving innovation across the built environment. This show is brought to you in partnership with PropTech Ireland, the hub for investors, innovators and indeed for industry leaders. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Harry Walston, VP of Sales at Outra. Harry, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Carol. Good to meet you.
And Outra, what is Outra?
Oh, good question. So Outra is actually one of the best kept secrets in the real estate market. So we are predominantly the leading data intelligence company specializing in the UK property market.
When you describe yourself as the best kept secret in particularly across PropTech, I'm afraid there's a couple of PropTech innovators who would find their services maybe being the best kept secret, that actually I would say technology providers, innovators who are powering so much of the ESG, the critical transformation that we're seeing at the moment. These brands are so, they're just not well known at all. So actually, I'm really glad that you've identified that up top. So in relation to Outra, how long have you been in the market?
Outra's been around for about 6 years now. And again, when I say the best kept secret, it's because a lot of people are familiar with our work, but not our brand. So we are part of a wider group. We have operated like providing specialist data models to different areas of some very large companies. So that's what I mean by the best kept secret. But if you go in and like kind of look under the hood of Outra, and you actually take a look at our founders and our leadership team, these are some of the most influential people in property. So just to give you an example, Carol, Giles Mackey, our founder, he founded HomeTrack. And HomeTrack was then scaled and sold to Zoopla for 100 million. Other advisors on the board, we've got Dominic Grace, who's a leadership at Savills for 35 years. Another example, Tom Nicholson. Tom Nicholson has headed up some of the major house builders in the UK, including Crest Nicholson. So that's why people know our leadership team and will know our work, but they might not know our name.
You know, I love that. You know, we don't talk enough maybe about the founders and the influence that comes in. And one thing we saw, like going back, you know, maybe back to 2016, 2017, when tech innovators were coming in without real estate or construction domain knowledge, they were struggling, they were falling flat. And, you know, in some cases, they were solving problems that, yes, were problems, but they weren't priority problems. You know, they weren't the problems that the industry had the margins to resource. Whereas actually, when you get that beautiful combination of technology and real estate and construction coming together, that's a huge amount of domain knowledge and technical expertise. That is quite a winning combination, and we've seen that time and time again. And you know, again, when you're coming, maybe not as a first time founder, particularly in technology, that just brings so many benefits that you know people maybe don't understand. So let's talk a little bit about the types of sectors that you're servicing at the moment, and then we'll get into maybe some of these specialist data models. You know, what is it that you're collecting? What are the insights that you're generating?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you'd expect with a property orientated business, our kind of key verticals are, I suppose, the most well-known. So we're working with the house builders, so the major house builders. We're working with the estate agents, property investment businesses, and build to rent as well. Build to rent is really on a growth curve within the UK market. And that is key and a really good sector that's starting to get really smart with data usage. Now, there are other verticals who kind of benefit from what we do, which is probably outside of this conversation. So we have a lot of interest from insurance companies, utility companies, digital retail, because the type of data that we produce and the predictions is actually relevant to a plethora of different industries. But we'll stick to the main ones for this conversation, Carol.
Very good. And look, I want to get into the types of data now, but actually it's very rare that we meet technology companies that are serving both, say, construction and home builders, as well as the kind of retail arm like a state agency and property investment companies. So let's take the home builders for a moment, because obviously in the UK, you have a similar situation like we have in Ireland at the moment. You know, the single largest problem we have is lack of supply, and and you know how to speed up supply. And there's a huge amount happening in terms of offsite and other modern methods of construction. But we're just not getting there fast enough at all. It's the demand that we refer to for so many years as pent up demand doesn't seem to be being addressed at any level. So talk to me about what what particularly you're doing for house builders and how that can impact the delivery of new homes.
Yeah. So, as you rightly said, house building is such a hot topic. I mean, it's, in the news week in, week out, and certainly no one has discovered a magic wand for either the construction or the funding of construction yet. So the way that we are helping the house builders is in a number of different ways. So because we have so much data down to the household level within the UK and can create models, use the machine learning over the top of that, we can identify to the house builders where there's a deficit. So we can tell the builders what to build, where to build, and who can afford it. So instead of your standard planning, if we know that there is a shortage of three bedroom house and there's a higher area of affordability, that's going to influence what they will build. Now, the other way we then help them is that with our data models, we identify who is going to be looking to buy a house within that area who meets the affordability. So therefore, we can actually provide them with leads, which allows them to sell off plan and on plan, and avoid these situations of where, the house builders have sold a lot off plan and then have their amber and red sites where they have houses which weren't suitable for those particular areas.
In terms of guiding what to build and where to build it, the affordability piece is massively important, but that has to marry then with local zoning and planning. So in terms of, do you work exclusively with the private sector?
Not exclusively with the private sector, but that's certainly where a lot of our demand has spiked in the last 6 months.
So are you able to track, say, in terms of your data showing? Because one thing we've seen, I don't know if it's the same across the UK, but certainly in Ireland, we saw that maybe our population stats in terms of the national statistics that the government was using was well behind the curve. Our expectations, everything was forecast maybe on the low side, and it meant that we were planning public services, including the zoning of land and what new homes would be required, to a much lower level, and maybe we weren't as accurate as to where certain types or typologies of housing should be and within what budget range. And this is quite frustrating for the industry because the industry tends to have better information, better market intelligence and data than sometimes the state does. And or maybe it's not better, maybe it's just more current. And that the state policy just takes a longer time. So, are you running into issues, or are your home builder clients running into issues where they have good, reliable, credible, robust data telling them what is needed in an area and at what price point that needs to be delivered? So, that kind of dictates the typology of housing or apartments or whatever it is. But does that fit in with local zoning, the planning that local authorities are willing to give?
So, to be honest, I wouldn't want to speak on behalf of the house builders themselves. We are just kind of providing them with the intelligence, and those are the conversations that they would be leading. What I can say to you is where we are working in the kind of public sector is due to the intelligence and the data we have. This is a really kind of good example of different usage, Carol. Once you've got these insights to household level, we are working with people like the Vulnerability Index. So actually providing details on households whose affordability is tracking the other way. So we are identifying households who are at risk of falling into fuel poverty, or potentially could be defaulting on their mortgage in the next 6 months. So this type of intelligence is kind of critical to the public sector on for social aspects. So I know it didn't directly answer your question, but I think that kind of gives you the type of usages outside house builders, estate agents, because we have the depth and breadth of information.
Yeah, and actually, no, I think that's very relevant because, again, while my focus may be primarily on zoning and where home builders are likely to get their planning, the reality is that that should be based on a housing need. So actually, it's reassuring that the local authorities are taking in this kind of information. So as long as they're using, and I'm sure we both had the experience of understanding when a lot of information, good, credible, robust information is made available and is not used. And that has been a real problem within this industry. So maybe you'd have a different perspective on that. But let's shift over to the real estate side, and whether it's across estate agencies or property investment companies, what's the kind of data that's driving decisions right now?
Great question. So I'm going to rewind a little bit and talk to you about the type of data that we use, because again, data gets thrown around a lot. So if I could go under the hood a little bit and tell you what the data is and then how we use it, then that will give you the indication of what we're actually producing to help these businesses.
Perfect.
Outra, we combine over 300 different data sources and we bring it in. So on every household, we have approximately 2,300 data points. And those data points is everything from the thickness of the walls to the when the boiler was last serviced, the energy rating, everything you can think of. And then we layer in like the demographic data. So the affordability. So what's the kind of average income of the house, age of children, digital preferences. So this is the type of data we do. Over the top of that, we then layer in the machine learning and the algorithms, and that allows us to predict behavior. So when we talk about the estate agent side, we produce a number of different data points for them, but predominantly we are identifying people who they want in their portfolio. So if they specialize in exclusive three-bedroom flats in certain areas of Manchester, we can provide them with people who, before they even know it themselves, are likely to want to sell their property within the next 6 months. So instead of having to fight for what is coming on the market with their competitors, they can start being proactive, be hyper-targeted with marketing, and get ahead of the curve. So if you know who is going to list their property within your region, that you could actually target them down to the individual household level. That's absolute gold dust.
And that's really powerful. In fact, frequently we have conversations around the future of property listings portals. What is the future? How will people find properties? Particularly in terms of some of the prop tech that's available now, actually, platforms and portals probably haven't kept pace with some of the new technologies. And I think it's really interesting when we look at this scenario. And I can remember this first being talked about a decade ago, where we would actually get to the point where there would be enough knowledge or data points really on householders that we would know before they would know, that essentially technology would know that they were getting ready to buy an apartment, or they were gearing up and getting ready to buy a home, or coming to a place in their life when it's likely that they'd be ready to buy a home, even if they hadn't yet thought about it or made a mortgage application or any sort of outreach yet. And similarly for sales. So can you break this down even more for me? Because I think this is a really interesting thing to see. Okay, we talked about it for a decade. So are we actually there yet? Like, with the level of predictability and accuracy, are we able to predict when to a household level when people are likely to be thinking of listing their home?
Absolutely, absolutely. So our prediction is that we provide, and again, we provide them for individual estate agency up to the largest players out there in the market. We depending on the area, the accuracy can be 1 in 4 to 1 in 6, which is an incredibly high ratio when you think of the investment that the real estate make in marketing and blanket marketing. And remember that this market is still quite traditional with some of the marketing techniques. So the more traditional direct mail marketing, or spot laminated brochures, your local advertising, all this type of thing. to actually, instead of blanket marketing, you know, 5-10,000 properties, to actually go and target 700-1,000 properties, knowing that 1 in 4, 1 in 5 of those is actually going to move. And then you do the maths of the percentage that the estate agent makes on each of those properties, you start getting to some big numbers. And I know, kind of work in this area, this particular market of estate agency have been late adopters with certain areas of technology. And some of the work that I have done in previous lives within retail has been the opposite end of the scale. We have been the early adopters pushing the boundaries, and then other people have followed. But now I see there's been a considerable acceleration within the real estate market, which is A, has been driven because there's demand and a need. COVID drove a lot of digital change as well. And also there's been a lot of consolidation in this market. So as the market consolidates, the competition get larger. And so looking for smarter ways to have a competitive advantage has become critical.
Yeah. And to be honest, there is quite a contradiction in that certainly real estate they have been slow adopters. And in fact, I would say that investment companies were well ahead of estate agents. And I would say property managers and block managers were well ahead of estate agents who were dealing with traditional sales. They was really almost like a denial phase that lasted much longer than it ought to have. But actually, in terms of lead generation, at a time when we're seeing not much supply of new homes coming into a market, and in the UK, you have a much higher turnover of properties than we've ever had in Ireland. So in fact, in Ireland, people tend not to move, you know, when you get into your home and you stay there forever. So we've always had a lower turnover. So actually lead generation in the secondhand residential market is a massive challenge, not just for our rural agents, for our urban agents as well. So actually and I know that agents listening in here today, that's what they're going to be interested in. So maybe talk a little more about how estate agents in a local area. I mean, is this, in terms of the cost of this, is this cost prohibitive for a small agency that only has 6 estate agents in a town, you know, not in a big city?
Not at all. Not at all. You know, we are, you know, key to be the number one in our market, and to be able to be number one in the market, particularly in the kind of real estate, you know, you have to look at the kind of long tail as well. There's no point, you know, servicing the top 5 and not having solutions for the other 90% of the market. So we are absolutely working with, you know, a one-man band, smaller estate agencies as well, because, you know, we want to be the number one go-to for everyone right the way across the sector. So we make it affordable for them as well.
And in terms of setting expectations, because anything where you're looking at data and market intelligence, you know, again, we're trying to interpret all of the information, but there is, you know, our models are trained on what would have happened in the past. So there's an element of looking both backwards and forwards, essentially. So in terms of setting reasonable expectations for, say, retail estate agencies, you know, on the high street that decide to use this service, how soon might they be able to action some of these insights?
You can action them straight away, because a lot more traditional algorithms are just doing comparisons to previous years. Those are kind of yesterday's algorithms. You know, so we are using machine learning and AI, which is actually taking, yes, past behavior, but real world behavior, and what is happening inside the house as well as outside, and then what's happening in the area. So actually, you know, our insights are real time.
Harry, are you and your team operating across the UK only at this stage?
Yep, UK only.
Okay, so in terms of the work you're doing, you know, particularly with the property investment companies, I would imagine then you are maybe are privy to spotting trends before they're reported in the marketplace. You know, and you touched on there the built rent. But what kind of trends are you seeing emerge through the data, you know, that might give us some indication of the marketplace over the next 12 months?
Well, I'm not going to give these trends away on this podcast, Carol. But we actually did an event. We did an event a couple months ago where we actually laid out all our predictions we made last year and made new predictions for this year. Now the recording's available online, so and people can pick it up from the LinkedIn. And we're also going to be producing the annual report, which is going to be available to everyone. So we have got those predictions, but I think you can either go online.
We have to dig for them.
You'll have to dig for them. Yeah. Yeah. My marketing team will thank me for that.
Well, tell me, what was your hit rate in terms of the predictions from last year? Your success rate?
No, pretty good. And the other thing is that, you know, some of the predictions, yes, we're utilizing our data, but also it was some of the predictions made by our board members and owners. So, you know, these are people who've been in the industry for years and they are giving their opinions. So one of the lovely things about that event is, you know, yes, we had predictions based on our data, but we had a live panel, both with Oucha people and other industry experts giving their individual opinions based on their different areas of the market. So it was a really good event, and we'll have to wait till next year to see how good our predictions were.
Very good. And I suppose finally, you know, what's in store? I mean, you talked about Oucha being in the marketplace now for 6 years, which in almost any other business would be quite new. You'd still be in scaling stage, but actually in the technology business, that makes you one of the more established and one of the longer established prop tech providers. So what's next for Oucha over the next year or two?
Great question. So the what next for Oucha is a lot of the work we've been doing and all the models we have productized. So we've now made them available to the whole market. So we brought those to market towards the end of last year, and we've got new products which are being released month on month. So the big two areas of growth that I've seen, one we've touched on, which is the house builders starting to get really smart in their data usage. And as we see, whichever government is going to lead us in the UK, housing new housing is going to be top of the agenda. So I see that trend and that demand for Oucha increase. The other area where we've launched a new product and we're seeing a huge amount of growth is the build to rent. So on the build to rent side, that is actually combining a number of different areas within the market, from the builders to the renters to the property investment. And we've built a tool which allows the build-to-rent organizations to manage their own portfolios, but to compare it against other people's portfolios and to look at live trends within pricing to make sure the pricing in the right area, and then also link through to planning to see what's coming up in planning. So if I had to put my £10 down, or £20, £10 each way, I'd be going for the increase in house builders and the BTR sector over the next 12 months.
Interesting. And finally, Harry, just if people are curious and they want to know more based on the videos you mentioned earlier and maybe some of the predictions for the UK market over the next year or two, where can they find that information?
Either from our website, so www.outra.co.uk, or Oucha on LinkedIn, or look me up, connect with me, come and have a conversation.
Super. That's great. Listen, that's all we've time for today, but thank you so much and best of luck to yourself and the Oucha team. And we look forward to seeing how this progresses. And that's all we've time for today. My thanks to Harry Walton, VP of Sales at Oucha. My thanks, as always, to producer Katie Tallon and to the audio team at Hear Me Roar Media. Before we go, special word of thanks to our sponsor, PropTech Ireland, for supporting the podcast and making these conversations possible. And finally, thank you indeed for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode of the PropTech Hot Seat. In the meantime, please be sure to check out all of the other Irish and international real estate and construction shows here on iPropertyRadio.com.